The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by ZipRecruiter. Going with a team defense that gave up 5 touchdowns last week? Not smart, but using ZipRecruiter to find qualified candidates fast? That's smart. ZipRecruiter identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, then actively invites them to apply. Try it free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy Focus.
Welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, and happy November to all of you. The leaves, they are a-changing. The candy, it still is being consumed after a terrific Halloween. Matthew Berry is back. I'm Field Yates. That's Stephon DeBell. Sup, Matty B?
I'm good. You know what? I'm curious.
Okay.
Because you say, you know what's not smart? You said this in the pre-roll. It's not smart to start a team defense that gave up 5 touchdowns the week before.
Yeah.
And I understand you're reading what's been given you, but isn't it just making your lineup based on last week's stats actually be a better line that is not smart?
That would work as well, Matthew. As you talked about a couple of days ago, it's not our jobs to write the copy. It's our jobs to read the copy. So if you'd like to amend that, I can re-record it.
I would have a new
show opening tomorrow.
I would be very happy to rewrite all the copy.
Okay.
I don't think anyone else would be happy if you saw what
Berry,
I did to
head
it.
Of sales here at ESPN as well. How was your Halloween?
Be happy
everybody?
To do that. You know, Halloween was great. Wife and I took the kids out.
You dressed up as a sandwich.
I was a hot dog.
Is that a sandwich?
It is absolutely not a sandwich. It is a hot dog.
What I did there then.
I did. Right. It is a hot dog is its own thing. If I put you between two buns, are you a sandwich?
Other than for Chapin, so.
That's a loaded Hello. Question. Wow. 11 Taylor. In the morning, Matthew.
I'm just saying, it's not a sandwich. It's not a sandwich. A hot dog is a hot dog. It's its own thing. Just putting something between two buns does not make it a sandwich. Am I right, Stephania Bell?
You are right.
Thank you very much.
I'm agreeing. I'm just trying to poke the bear.
We're all in agreement.
There you go. No, it's quite all right. It's quite all right. Just be careful. I just want you to be careful. Because I have to tell you something. I've been Matumbo-esque on the Twitter lately.
I have blocked
more people in the last 3 days than I have
finger?
In the last 2 years combined.
Do you have a little gif of you going, no, no, no,
I should.
No.
I should.
Yeah, can you just
can we
a
just
single
like,
shot
Luna,
here?
Can we just, maybe
little,
it's
little
like.
A finger wag? No, 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 no.
Wait for the single shot. There you go. Yes, you look just like Dikembe Mutombo.
Yeah. Am I like, it's like Mutombo?
You're a foot and 4 inches shorter.
Yeah, but it's not a wrist wag. It's a finger wag. There we go.
He does not have the dexterity of Dikembe, a legend.
Yeah, which is weird because otherwise Dikembe and I, like twinsies,
basically the same person,
but it's just the dexterity that sets us apart.
So I presume you want us to ask why you've been blocking so many people, Matthew. That seems to be where you were leading towards. Otherwise you would not have brought it up.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, so.
I was just going to say, really quickly.
No, I mean, like, it's just.
Out of nowhere, I brought up the fact that I've been blocking a lot of people, and now I want to let this conversation die on the vine. No.
All right, no, but it's fine. It's fine. Well, anyway, so last week on this show, like a day, and we talked about this a little bit, but I made a prediction about Jameis Winston. I've been in on the Tampa Bay quarterback.
He would throw 4 picks.
I thought, the number 4 was in there. I said I had him as a top 4 fantasy quarterback there, and. So anyway, that clip kind of coming back up, and I'm just like, guys, like it was a good call. I mean, it didn't work out obviously, but process of results. Like I would make that call 100 times out of 100 based on everything that Winston had done, based on their offense, based on their skill players versus the skill players of the Cincinnati Bengals, who by the way, in that game did not play well. Winston just was brutal. Like it's not like the Bengals made amazing plays. It was just like, if I'm aiming at you, Winston like threw it to Stephania and Stephania caught it. Like yeah. That's what happened.
Don't act
like
surprised.
it's not like Stephania came it. Over and like made some diving catch in front of you.
Like the
no,
rock
it was just like literally like right.
night that
right.
went backwards.
Yeah, it was that brutal. Was anyway, yeah. So whatever. He had his worst day at the office, in probably his career, lost his job, whatever it is, whatever it is. And so like I kept getting people like whatever. And I make bad calls all the time. It happens. I'm probably making a prediction about 200 players over the course of a week. Like I'm obviously never going to get all of them right, but you try to have the smart process into it. And I couldn't understand why it kept coming up and coming up. And Anyway, it was a Twitter glitch in terms of, or I don't know if it was a Twitter glitch. That's not a fair thing to say. I don't want to blame Twitter on this. It was a glitch in the system in terms of promoted posts. So I want to apologize because I kept getting a bunch of people asking me, like, why does this keep showing up in my timeline? You know, because it was from last week's game. So number one, three things. So if you saw this clip of me recommending Jameis Winston, please understand that it was a bad call for week 8, not a bad call for week 9.
We don't know that yet.
Well, a lot of people are like, dude, this guy actually lost his job. Like, are you not? I pay attention to the news. I promise that. Secondly, it was a bad call from a week ago. Secondly, that's why it was some sort of glitch. So I apologize to everyone that had to see that multiple times. And three, of course, the glitch couldn't have happened on a good call, on one that I crush. No, it's got to be like this bad call where I predict the guy to have a top 4 game, and of course he throws 4 interceptions. So that's my luck.
You know
what
you have to say? You have to spin this. You have to flip the script, so to speak. And you have to say, I was just doing this to see if all of you out there were paying attention.
Yeah, that's one way to go. I didn't go that way.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
Anyway, I just got to a point where with just a bunch of different comments, where I'm just like, you know what, life's too short. I don't care. And I just normally I mute people, but I just went on a blocking spree blocked anyone.
You know what, Matthew?
It felt great. Actually,
next year we will get you one of those retro Nuggets jerseys with the rainbow stripes across them. You will be the Kembe Mutombo 55 Nuggets jersey
that
next year for Halloween.
There may not be a greater pleasure on social media than blocking people, blocking trolls.
You need to get out more.
Maybe
let's talk about the
on social
news.
Media. On actual social media. That's what I just said. There may be on social media. Anyway, but last thing I want to say is my policy is always still in effect. If you have been blocked and you make a and you'd like to be unblocked, if you would like to be unblocked, you can always make a donation to the Jimmy V Foundation, jimmyv.org. It's great. I don't care how much because, you know, every dollar counts. We can all afford different amounts. But if you want to, you can make a donation, send your social media handle along with
copy of the receipt,
a copy of the receipt. Thank you very much. And you can email to
unblock me.
Unblockme@ESPN.com, I believe, is the correct
Are you speaking from experience?
No.
I've had that before.
I think it is. Unblockme@ESPN.com.
It was a funny.
You blocked Field, and then Field did it, and he was on. So that's how he knows everything.
I was trying to be. Yeah. I was injecting some humor into this podcast.
The thing is, Stefania was trying to be funny,
you're here.
But the reality was, she was actually right. Like, I've had to be unblocked by Matthew. He got salty at me for some stuff back in the day.
And I may do it again. We'll see. The show's early.
It's a good point.
By the way, you're going to wear a Dikembe Mutombo jersey when we do that one-on-one basketball game?
Yes. Oh, I might do that. I might do that because I will stuff.
We'll find out.
I need to be there in case there are ankles that need to be taped.
Don't worry.
We got a whole thing. You'll be out there in the lab coat. Make no mistake. I'm gonna need you to bring out like.
Did you see somebody wear a lab coat who is like courtside?
She's not like playing with Bunsen beakers, Matthew.
She's coming.
We got Bill Nye coming to the basketball game. That'll be awesome.
I'm gonna need you to bring like 2 buckets of Bengay. I mean, like, I'm just gonna like come out there
like
holding.
Clearly. You are throwing yourself into the Wayback Machine.
You have no idea. You have no idea. I want the knee pads. I want the Kareem goggles. Like, I want it all. I'm gonna get so greasy with Ben Gay that all I'm gonna do is just rub up against Field the whole time. Yeah, you don't understand all the strategies I've got.
This is a long game poly 2.0.
Yeah.
For those who may not remember, rest in peace, Philip Seymour Hoffman. But one of the all-time great movie scenes.
So good.
One-on-one game against Stiller. Unbelievable. Let's talk football now. Dalvin Cook, Stefania, practiced in a limited capacity on Wednesday. And I know we've heard this story many times before, but could it be a little bit different this time around?
We're going to do a little review of Dalvin Cook here.
The mic is yours.
Because I think that for people, you know, we've been this back and forth. I think to get your mind around the frustration of sort of managing Dalvin Cook, you have to really look at the whole picture. So Dalvin Cook, his original injury to his hamstring, September 16th in Green Bay. Go way back to September 16th. Then he did not play in week 3. He returned in week 4. You may remember this game.
Rams game, yeah.
Rams game. Played 18 snaps, 10 carries for 20 yards. Clearly not healthy, right? So after that game, does not play in weeks 5 through 8. Now, last week, there was some thought that he could be out through the week 10 bye. This was sort of, there were rumblings of this in Minnesota. And even though the team never formally stated it, it certainly looked to be shaping up that way. And there was a lot of frustration that you heard from the player. You heard from Dalvin Cook saying that he wasn't going to go out there when he was 80 to 85% when there were other guys who could make plays and he wanted to get his explosiveness back. And that all seemed logical. Then this week, start of this week, week 9, he said his hamstring was feeling great, that the rest has been helping him. But, and I quote here, that's the tricky thing about these things. They feel good, but you go out there, you overextend, you do something stupid, and it sets you back. And he was unsure. This is starting this week. Okay. If he would even practice. Then Wednesday, he's out there with a helmet and pads in limited practice. And so this to me, I just want to show you the disconnect here between what the player is saying, what sometimes is happening, and then how the team ends up listing and reporting him. So I think we could all agree that we'd all feel better if he was out through the bye week. But if he comes back this week, and I still say that's a big if, because we have to see what he does today and tomorrow. I fully expect this to be that situation that we heard about a couple weeks ago, where he would be limited, there would be a potential snap count, they would use him situationally, and this would not really cut into Latavius Murray, other than to potentially frustrate you a little bit. I in no way think that if Dalvin Cook is active this week, it is a full Dalvin Cook, 100% full go. And they have the bye next week. This might be a bit of a dipping the toe in the pool if they feel like it's safe to start him and to see how he responds to that activity. But we could very easily go to the end of this week and then they could call him questionable and he could not play. So it is a quandary for fantasy owners. But if it were me, if I had Dalvin Cook on my fantasy roster.
Do you have Dalvin Cook on your fantasy roster?
I do not. I have Latavius Murray.
Wow. Hey, and so it's cool, by the way. Did you notice this, by the way? Stefania Bell doesn't have Dalvin Cook on her team. He did not fall to the curse of Stefania Bell.
Excellent producing.
Really?
Right there.
Really? Yeah. Can we cut that clip? Can we cut that clip and put that out for a week? Why can't we get that clip going out there for
a
week?
You were great, Daniel. I think you take too much heat on
this. No.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I know. Seriously. You were doing something else.
Take me through the process of not hitting the correct button there. What happened there? Did something get in your eye? Did Keith suddenly put in your block? You know, did Keith suddenly distract you? Like, did he play defense on the board? Like, what happened?
Yeah.
Do you have a thumb injury that we need to know about? Like, what's going on?
This board has a bunch of different colors with a drop in front of it.
Yes.
And so one of them says da-da-da, which is the Sports Center one, and that one I think is red. I don't know. And the other one says da-da-dum, which is the Christmas Stefania Fell, and that one might be green, but I'm colorblind.
That's so actually
defensible. I'm just trying to, like, figure out which one is the right one, because I don't set these colors, colorblind.
Then I have a follow-up here.
Setting.
How do you then do it correctly all the other times? How is that managed when you've overcome your colorblindness?
It takes a Herculean effort to be able to.
Is that what it is? Should we hold a, like, a rally for you? Some sort of, like, because for you overcoming your colorblindness?
You want to get me those glasses? You want to get me those glasses that I can put on and it will let me see colors like everyone else is?
Like the Rams
totally
end zone this past
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
We will, do that. Would you like to try again with a drop?
Yeah, here we go.
Well done.
Wow.
So,
managed to do that at all. A GoFundMe? Let's set up a GoFundMe for Daniel's colorblindness.
No,
how much do those glasses cost?
Stop.
$400.
You need to get to other things.
But okay. Let's reset.
All right. Let's reset for video.
No Dalvin Cook on my roster, but I have a lot of stock in Latavius Murray. And so it's relevant. I would still start Latavius Murray, even if Dalvin Cook's active. That's how I feel about it. Cause I don't think this would be anything more than a little bit of a, like, let's see how you do.
Yeah, I think for me, this news is more about Latavius Murray's value than it is Dalvin Cook's. Like, I'll tell you that the love hate is coming out today, and I had Latavius Murray as a love because my expectation was that he got, you know, the majority of the snaps, and I think he still makes a love. I still think he probably outscores his projection. I think he's got the best chance of getting into the end zone against a Lions defense that allows the 6th most fantasy points per game to opposing running backs. It's allowing the 3rd most yards per carry here. Mm-hmm. And there's a chance here. So I'm with Stefania. We'll see how this week goes on field, but feels like even if Cook is active, it's more about not starting Cook and less about lowering expectations for Murray.
Yeah. This is a guy who at the start of the week was unsure if he would practice and said he felt better, but was still concerned about a potential setback. Just keep that in mind.
I think the only way that Dalvin Cook probably makes it into my lineup, and it's going to happen to me because my team is really in tough shape right now in the War Room League.
Right.
Is if you play in a 16-team league and you hold out hope for Dalvin Cook. Like, you, You plan on not having him in your lineup. And subsequently, if he is active, you consider him in a flex position where you're so thin. And trust me, my War Room League team is a disaster right now. So I'm just telling you that it may be what we are forced to deal with. And that's about as far as I would go with Dalvin Cook. I'm just nervous. I'm nervous for even if he plays, counting on him and then him playing eight snaps and getting five carries for 21 yards and saying, like, after the game, the Vikings might be like, we're really encouraged by Dalvin being better.
Exactly.
Which is true.
Right.
It just may not be true for your fantasy.
Yeah.
Exactly. That is exactly the takeaway from all this.
Right. And instead of maybe 20 touches, does Murray get 16 or 15 in this game? Right. Which, by the way, I'd rather have Murray for 15 against the Lions than Cook for 6 or 7 here, Stefania. And among the reasons why they may lean on the run game in this one is because Stephon Diggs all of a sudden shows up on the injury report.
Right, and if you look at last week's game, there was a place where he took a big hit and came out of the game and a rib injury. So we've talked about rib injuries before, whether and they haven't specified, but whether it's a bruise, a crack, a cartilage injury, any of these things are problematic, not just because of contact that you could potentially take during the game, but just for the player to be able to run, to be able to stretch, to be able to reach. I mean, things that you typically have to do as a receiver, not at all in practice yesterday. Obviously, you want to see if he's able to do anything before the week is out. But again, I would start planning as if you may not have Stephon Diggs. Again, looking at the fact that if he cannot play because of it's too painful or whatever the reason, they have a bye next week. So this does sort of factor in there. This is not, sometimes you see guys wear the flak jackets, running backs and so forth. But again, for a receiver, that doesn't really help you. Especially, we don't know exactly where in the rib cage the injury is, but it's not just the contact, it's the movement. It's the running hard. It's all of those things that can make a rib injury limiting for a player like this.
Stefania, is it your assertion, I'm trying to read between the lines here a little bit, but is it your assertion that because of the nature of this injury, because they have the bye next week, and because the Vikings aren't really concerned about Daniel's Detroit Lions, that, like, despite being a divisional rival, here's a team that just gave up on Golden Tate. Here's a team that's been disappointing all year long under first-year head coach Matt Patricia that has caused pain in people like Daniel. Is it your assertion that basically we don't need Stephon Diggs to beat the Lions? Is that sort of what you're saying here? Feels like, if I'm reading between the lines here, that Daniel's team really just has no shot in this one.
I think that is yours. I'm not going to quite go there.
Daniel, is that how you read that? Because it feels like to me.
It's not totally how I read it. I understand what you're saying, but you got to trust the process. You know what I mean?
Like, what is the process in Detroit?
I don't know.
Is it?
Do you think the reason that the Lions have struggled this year is because they're colorblind?
You know what?
Wow.
I don't
know. Or is
that
just your excuse? I'm just trying to figure it out.
That might just be Rory.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but I'm not totally sure. I'll ask though. I'll see if I can get the PR on the phone.
Does anybody know the differences between an assertion and an assertion?
No.
When you said that word, I certainly don't. So focused, fixated on that. Anyways, we were way off track here.
Yeah,
so,
please.
That's what I do.
Stephon Diggs is at least in some jeopardy of missing out on this game on Sunday. The Vikings have some wide receiver depth. Laquan Treadwell, Aldrick Robinson has caught 3 touchdowns so far this year. So we do have some potential players that could pop up onto the radar, but maybe it just means that, you know, you have a sort of stream. You know, hopefully what it could mean would be the biggest beneficiary would be Kyle Rudolph, because he'd be the most likely Viking to be in lineups this weekend if Stephon Diggs does not play.
But I think you bring up a good point. Obviously, with 6 teams on a bye and, you know, some people banged up, and for people that are in deeper leagues, 16, 14 teams, even maybe like a 3-wide receiver, a 12 team, but 3-wide receiver league, that kind of thing. Laquan Treadwell suddenly becomes interesting if Diggs were to miss this game. Like, I'm not the biggest Treadwell fan here, but.
Is there a big Treadwell fan?
No, but you know what I mean? And it would be interesting to see would they move Thielen more outside? Would they just keep him and have Treadwell?
I doubt it.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't think you'd see Darius Slay suddenly move over to Thielen. Slay doesn't play a lot inside. So, well, I was actually going to ask, what is the record for catches in a game by an NFL wide receiver?
Isn't
Thirsty
it
Kyle?
21 by Terrell Owens?
I thought 22? It was Brandon Marshall. Or did Brandon Marshall just...
Brandon Marshall got 22 in one game. That's right. Yeah, I think he may have either tied or surpassed T.O. by 1. I think T.O. had 21 for like 309 or
Brandon
something.
Adam Thielen going up against either Tease Tabor or Nevin Lawson is going to catch 100 passes for 600 yards.
Yeah. You heard it here first. Put that one on the board right there.
So I will take the under on 100 passes. Let's put that on the board. Like,
put it on the board.
There you go. Thank you very much. Thirsty Kyle puts up on the screen. It was Brandon Marshall with 21 receptions, actually, in 2009. So, yeah. But like, all no jokes aside, literally, I think that record could be in jeopardy if Stephon Diggs misses this game.
Before we get to Quincy and Numa, I bet you a pair of Stance socks that Adam Thielen has less than 12 catches this week.
Less than 12.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Okay. Can we put, this is based on Stephon Diggs' health. Revisit this?
If Stephon Diggs does not play.
Okay.
Adam Thielen has fewer caveat? Than 12 catches.
Yeah, sure. What do I care?
You might care about a pair of socks. That can impact you. Daniel still owes me one because you owe me one.
Do I? Okay. Well, yeah, I'll get it out.
I'll get it to you.
Daniel and Thirsty Kyle are in charge of paying off my debts for me. They're in charge of that whole organization there. So, sure. But I'm in on that. I will take the over on 12 if Stephon Diggs is out of this
huge
game.
Huge number. One more here.
Yes, it is. It is a huge number. But you know what? Adam Thielen, hashtag good at football.
Best in the business right here, baby. Best in the biz.
I bet you missed that analysis, didn't you? There you go. Let's play that for a week. Adam Thielen's good.
Quincy Enunwa for the Jets was spotted at practice yesterday, Stefania. Didn't actually practice, though. We talked about this a few times on the show this season, but just a reminder to those that are not yet familiar with the idea that you can be at practice but not be listed as a practice participant.
Right, and a lot of times these guys are going out and taking mental reps. We also don't know exactly what they had him doing once the portion that's open to the media ends. But it's valuable to have our media members like Rich Tamini, who covers the Jets, out there because they can see, oh, he's there. He's got a helmet. There is the potential for him to do something, but he could have that helmet and be going through some individual work that does not count as formal practice reps. So high ankle sprain that's caused him to miss two games. We don't know yet if he's going to be ready to come back this week. Obviously, he'll have to do more by Friday. You should get a pretty good indication from the Jets, even if they're calling someone a game time decision. You can read the tea leaves by Friday afternoon.
They play the Dolphins this weekend, by the way.
So you think there's a legit chance Enunwa does play this week?
I don't know if I'd call it legit. Like, he's being reintegrated to practice. Keep in mind, you have 2 weeks of him being out. He's out there doing individual work.
Right,
that's all you know because he was counting as a non-participant. He might, again, Thursday's usually the biggest practice day. So if we get a not practice on Thursday, I'm always suspicious, especially coming back from something like this.
As speaking of somebody who has, like, five guys on a bye in the 16-team War Room League,
Anun
was in my lineup. Make no mistake. Like,
Deontay
I'm like
Burnett for Matthew Berry.
Oh, it's like
Trenton Cannon.
Oh my! Listen, TJ Jones is starting for me this week. I mean, it's slim pickings out there in a 16-team league with six teams on a bye. So I'm really hoping for Anunwa today. By the way, I've never once taken mental reps.
Before we move on,
mental practice reps
along that line.
Yes, ma'am.
Because grammar police, it was a requirement for me to look this up.
Yes.
Because I couldn't at the moment tell you that assertion was not a word, although it was just grating on the part of my brain.
Okay, sure, sure. Yeah, yeah. You've got an Ivy League education.
Ascertainment would be the noun form of ascertain. Ascertain, ascertaining.
What did I say?
Is a verb. You said assertion, which I think you combined assertion.
With ascertain.
congratulations for inventing a word. Maybe if it gets picked up, it'll make its way into the modern Merriam-Webster, something that gets used so much in the vernacular that you could actually have an entry.
There you go.
It is my assertion that you should not start Jameis. That's what I got for you.
There you go. Well, listen, we're all smarter today. A lot of times you see like sort of the clip of the week. Now we just have the clip for the week. That'll be the clip for the week. There you go. That'll be the one where I invent the English language.
All right, Stefania, tell us.
In fairness, it's my second language. In fairness.
Let's hear about MeUndies, Stefania.
Okay, let's. I always thought MeUndies was that really cool underwear brand with the fun, crazy prints.
Wait, is it not?
It wasn't until I actually tried them on that I realized that, wow, holy crap, they are seriously the most comfortable thing I've ever worn. And now that fall is here, you got to check out these amazing Halloween prints. I got some Halloween print MeUndies, not going to lie. Little jack-o'-lanterns on there.
How about that?
Yeah. I can't show you, but I can tell you about them. They use a micro-modal fabric, which is a full 3 times softer than regular cotton. I couldn't believe how soft these things were. They release multiple fun prints each month, like my Halloween pattern prints, in matching socks and bralettes. You can even get a matching pair with your partner. 100% satisfaction guarantee. You're going to love these undies, but if you're not into it, MeUndies will do whatever they can to get you into the right pair. And if they can't, you keep them and they will refund you. So it is truly risk-free to try the best underwear ever. MeUndies also loves celebrating the fall season with these fun Halloween prints. I told you about the jack-o'-lanterns and undies, socks, and bralettes. And you know what? You can even wear them past Halloween. MeUndies has a great offer for our listeners. For any first-time purchasers, when you purchase any MeUndies, you get 15% off and free shipping. This is a no-brainer. 15% off a pair of the most comfortable undies you'll ever put on. To get your 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/FFT. That is correct. That's MeUndies.com/FFT.
So, hey, real quickly. So I'm just while you were reading about your underwear there, Stefania.
Yeah.
I was checking the Twitter.
You weren't glued to that?
No.
Like,
I may have heard it once or twice before.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, I was checking out the Twitter there, as you know, because obviously for people listening to this later, we broadcast the show every single day on Twitter at Fantasy Focus. If you'd like to tune in, or if you follow any of us at Stefania B at Stefania underscore ESPN at Field Yates, at Matthew Berry TMR, at Daniel Dopp. And so we always tweet out links as well. But a couple of different things just that I think we should bring up here. First off, at Scotty924, Scott Dolan, Scotty924 says, a hot dog is a sandwich. Twitter poll this. First off, Scott, congratulations on not being blocked. Well done. I see it. You popped into my feed. So I'm down with that. That's fine. But Thirsty Kyle, let's do a Twitter poll because a hot dog is 100% not a sandwich.
I feel like we did this Twitter poll already.
I will go to the death on this. I will die on that hill. Absolutely.
We don't just beat jokes into the ground.
We beat Twitter polls
into the ground.
We right, had this yeah. Twitter poll.
That's what I do. Well, we're doing it again. Scott, are you denying Scott Dolan's wish here? All right. So anyway, official blind long snapper of the 06010, Jake Olson at Jake Olson 61. We love Jake, of course. Jake is friend of the podcast. So at Jake Olson 61, give him a follow. Anyway, he says, I feel you at Daniel Dopp. Don't let at Matthew Berry TMR undercut your color blindness. Hashtag sympathy. Hashtag fantasy focus. First off, okay.
So noble right there.
And it's so ridiculous.
He is one of the funniest followers on
Olson's
Twitter.
Awesome.
Go check out his video of him going off the high dive and look at his comment.
Oh.
Amazing.
No. Jake Olson, awesome. By the way, and of course, standing offer for Jake anytime he's in town, anytime he wants to come on the podcast. So we love Jake.
All those trips to Bristol, Jake. You're welcome anytime.
Of course, anytime. Well, listen, he's blind. If ever there's a guy to go to Bristol, it's Jake. Anyway, look, the point is, here's the thing. So this is how great Jake Olson is, right? Because he's just like, I feel you, sympathy for you, Daniel. Here's a guy, he's blind. And by the way, in what he's accomplished, what he's overcome to be a Division I football player with his blindness, to be a long snapper for USC, it's unbelievable. Daniel, you can't eat with your sight. You can't hit buttons. Like, I'm colorblind too, by the way. I'm 100%. Oh, it's true.
Yeah, why don't you get your own bit, Matthew?
You know
being
what?
Colorblind is my thing, all right, man?
Listen.
All right?
Listen, I like copying bits.
Be original
I've
here.
Seen it. Look, the fact is here, Secret Squirrel, I was actually at a doctor's appointment, an eye doctor yesterday. I will bring in my report tomorrow. I am definitely
Deal.
Colorblind.
Deal.
So, and then the
it
last
explains
that explains
so
your fashion choices
much,
throughout the years.
Doesn't
yeah,
it?
It really does.
It really does.
Yeah, well,
carry
look.
On.
No. And my colorblindness does not affect my fashion choices. My lack of fashion sense. And honestly, Field, if I dress poorly in the last year, it's on you. You're my fashion spirit animal.
Over the past year. You look great.
Thank you very much. Look, I give full credit or blame to you. You are my fashion spirit animal. And then finally, at Excited Chris 2 says, don't worry about Barry. Your job is to help people make choices, not make choices for them. They started or drafted someone. It's on them for being the guy to pull the trigger. If you could predict how players would pay in the future, you'd be a billionaire. Look, 100%.
I'm sorry. Are they assuming you're not?
I thought you were a billionaire.
I see your house is. Houses.
Anyway, life's been good to me. But the fact is, I appreciate the support. I appreciate the support, Chris, very much so. It was more just about the fact this is the bad luck. I just thought it was funny that the bad luck that this call that I made, that the process was right. The result obviously was horribly wrong. And that was the one that ended up getting a ton of run. And so I just thought that was funny. But I appreciate the sport at Excited Chris. And also congratulations on not being blocked.
Game preview.
Time now for a game preview. We're calling it the Nick Bosa Bowl, in my mind at least. It is
okay.
The Oakland Raiders traveling just across the bay to play the San Francisco 49ers, Stefania's beloved team. San Francisco at 1-7, Oakland at 1-6. Obviously, there's more draft implications than there are playoff or anything sort of competitive implications this year.
Wow.
But let's begin on the Oakland side.
Just throwing Stefania's team under the... I mean, she's right here.
The difference is Stefania's realistic with their fandom. She knows this team is this is about 2019 and beyond for the 49ers.
Yeah, you know what? Well, I'll wait till we get to the 49ers. I'll save it. Go ahead.
For the Raiders, though, Matthew, I included this week on the waiver wire column a couple of week 9 streaming quarterback suggestions. One of them was Derek Carr, who actually makes your love list today.
Yeah, I mean, so first off, it's we're talking about 6 teams on a bye here. So I have Carr at 16 in my initial ranks going into tonight. So I think he's a very solid mid-tier QB2. Understand it's all, you know, you're grading on a, sorry, Stefania, bell curve here because of 6 teams on a bye. But you think about the 49ers who have allowed an opposing quarterback to score over 20 fantasy points 5 different times this season. They're allowing the 5th most yards per completion this season. They're bottom 12. I think this is the most important piece here, right? They're bottom 12 in both blitz percentage and pressure percentage. Obviously, you know, we've made a lot of jokes about Jay Gruden saying like, oh, I really wish we could get somebody who could get after
John Gruden.
Sorry, I said Jay.
Me too.
Sorry. We've had some fun with the fact that John Gruden has talked about his lack of a pass rush. But like, interesting. It's weird because you had a guy that could do that. But whatever. The fact is that they've struggled with getting to the quarterback. And actually, I screwed that up because I'm not talking about Oakland. I'm talking about Derek Carr. No, whatever. I'm still on the color blindness. Anyway, the fact of the matter is the 49ers actually also like the Raiders. This is 2 teams that struggle with getting to the quarterback. I think Beathard could be decent here as well. Anyway, the 49ers bottom, if he plays, we'll talk about that in a second. 49ers bottom 12 in both blitz percentage and pressure percentage. Derek Carr, when he has a clean pocket, when he is not under pressure this season, he's completing over 50% of his passes. He has a touchdown. He's completing over 77% of his passes, and he throws a touchdown every 22 pass attempts. So he's a much better quarterback when he's not being pressured. My expectation is the 49ers don't get after him in this game. His projection is 15.8 fantasy points. For ESPN projections, I am taking the over on 15.8. He makes the others receiving votes on my love list tonight.
I have a question.
Yes.
What does a dirty pocket look like?
That's a very Matthew right there.
You know, I feel like Stefania is just walking me into getting fired there.
Let's talk to Kyle for a minute.
Yeah.
Talking now for the IBM Insight.
But I'll answer it. What do I care? I'll answer the question in terms of, what makes a dirty pocket? There you go. Just here.
Matthew,
you know what I'm going to do?
Lost for words.
Why don't you talk to us about Jalen Richard?
Hang on. Wait. Before we get there, I don't have an answer for Stefania, but I believe our Twitter audience does. @Stefania_ESPN. If you'd like to just tell her what you think a dirty pocket is, she's asking the question, and I'm just trying to get you some answers here, Stefania. I'm a team player.
Football time. Let's get to our IBM Insight of the Week. In regards to Jalen Richard of the Oakland Raiders, what do you got for us, Kyle?
Sure. Jalen Richard's our IBM Watson Insider of the Week, and things are looking good for him this week. He has a 25.7% chance to boom this week, which would mean exceeding 17.6 points, which would be a new season high. You guys think he gets there?
I think I've got him at 29 in my rankings, although I would not be surprised if he gets to his season high. Here's what's worth noting, and most important sample size we've seen from Jalen Richard is not just this past week when there was no Marshawn Lynch, because basically they utilized him in the same way that they have throughout the season. But when he's on the field, the Raiders are throwing the football, and when they're throwing the football, he's got a good shot of catching it. Over his last 2 games, he's run 31 routes. He's been targeted 16 times. Half of his routes that he runs, he gets targeted. So if he plays 20 plays tonight and runs 18 routes, even if he runs 14 routes, there's an excellent shot that he gets 5, 6, 7 catches.
That's the
kind of player he's become.
8 targets, 8 catches for 50 yards. It's 13 fantasy points in the passing game.
Yeah.
That's just why I like Jalen Richard over Doug Martin.
I agree with you, Stefania. 3 straight games with at least 6 or more catches. Here's the only other people in the NFL that can say that, right? Adam Thielen, Odell Beckham.
Not bad.
Saquon Barkley.
Pretty good.
Literally, that's the entire list of active streaks, players with currently active streaks of at least 3 games in a row with 6 or more catches. Once again, Adam Thielen, Odell Beckham, Saquon Barkley, Jalen Richard.
Yeah,
and so with Amari Cooper now in Dallas field, like they're looking for guys to dump off the pass to.
Right. And people will say, well, yeah, they're playing a team that they should be winning against tonight. Well, here's the reality is that like, He doesn't play exclusively when they're down. He plays when they're in third down. Like, the Raiders' offense is just not good enough to go chunk play after chunk play after chunk play for 60 full minutes. I think Rashard will play enough to make good on it. We mentioned Doug Martin, who all of us have ranked lower than Rashard. I've got him at running back 30. I split the difference between Matthew and Stefania, Matthew being the most optimistic. You know, the volume certainly helps here for Doug Martin. Are you at all in favor of this matchup against the 49ers?
Yeah, I mean, look, a lot of it was frankly my other options.
Right.
Okay.
It's
an ugly week out there. I mean, I'm at 27. You have it at 30. So, I mean, like, the difference between us is not that significant. Stefania is a little bit more pessimistic here. I will say that the 49ers have a better run defense than they do secondary. So I think that speaks to Stefania's point here. I just feel like, who's got a shot at scoring a touchdown? Like, I think if they get in close, and I do think, like you heard me talk about Derek Carr, I do think they move the ball in this game. I do think both teams kind of move the ball up and down the field here. Obviously, Carr, I think, will have a clean pocket. And so, yeah, I think he's got a shot at falling into the end zone here. It's a weird position to be in, field, because I'm having to talk up Doug Martin, and I don't believe in it. But I do have him at 27. I do think he's a low-end flex play tonight if you're desperate, because he should get double-digit touches in a matchup that doesn't totally scare you.
You feel really good about Jared Cook, given the dearth of options and the fact that he is a focal point of this Raiders passing offense. But last week, in a week when we thought, hey, Jordy Nelson, he might emerge. Martavis Bryant, he might emerge. They combined for one target and 14 yards. Nelson still ranks highest amongst Raiders wide receivers tonight, but the risk has to be accounted for. You have no idea. No idea what could happen tonight.
No, you certainly don't. That's why they play the games. I believe that's what the phrase is.
I believe that's right.
But Jordy Nelson is somebody that I actually do. He was also in sort of others receiving votes, right? 49ers allowing the seventh most deep completions per game this season. Nelson does lead the Raiders in deep targets so far this year. He actually tied for the team lead in routes run last week, just had one reception. Okay. So, I mean, I think it's one of those things where, because, like I've said, I don't think San Francisco gets pressure on Carr in this game. I think he has a clean pocket, which I think allows plays to develop longer, which I do think they're going to take some deep shots to Jordy Nelson here. I think last week was a little bit more of a fluke. I do think he's the best receiver on this team, understanding that as faint praise, but I do believe he's the best. Certainly he's the best fantasy receiver. I think he's actually the best NFL receiver on this team as well. His point production is 11.5. I'm taking the over. I have him as wide receiver 33 in PPR.
Before we get to the other side of the bay, quite literally, the Raiders' defense is being mentioned as a popular streaming option this week, or at least a streaming option. Now, this sort of ties into the quarterback who could be starting for the 49ers. So we'll talk about that more in a moment, but just focus on if Nick Mullins starts at quarterback, and Adam Schefter tweeted during this podcast that TJ Beathard is not one of those questionables, like, where he's questionable, we expect him to play. Like a legitimate 50-50 coin toss tonight.
Game time.
Wow. TJ Beathard. Nick Mullins. How much confidence would that give you in this Raiders defense as a streaming option if he is eventually named the starter?
You know, I think it's a two-sided question here.
Okay.
Are you asking it in regards to the Raiders defense as a streamer?
Yes.
I could certainly see it. Obviously, we've got a guy that's never thrown a pass in the NFL. I don't think the Raiders defense is any good, like, in any way, shape, or form.
Correct.
Here. They are traveling on a short week. I get it. It's just across the bay, but they're still traveling on a short week. And I don't love defenses traveling on a short week here.
They're not traveling.
They are, to an extent. You know, they're going across
the
bay.
Like 15 minutes.
Still.
There are probably players on the Raiders that live closer to the 49ers stadium than they do their own stadium.
Fact.
Maybe. Right. They still
the
have
to.
The they
still fine, but
hey,
the travel
hey,
part, no.
They still have to like
to play
go
in that
to. They still have to like
stadium.
Yeah, they have to. The foreign
it's
locker
not
room.
Their comfortable
hostile crowd. They still have
hostile,
to go to the. They all. They still
crowd.
Have. Yeah,
that's assuming they get a crowd.
People are going to show up to watch this
yeah.
game.
Yeah, like drink their little wine spritzers.
I mean,
isn't that what you guys do in San Francisco?
Do you know where most people are? 520 in the Bay Area?
Where?
In their cars. Stuck there. In traffic.
Well, exactly. And so that's part of the problem here. So they're going to have to go to Oakland. They have to go to Oakland, get on the team bus, and get there. Anyway, whatever. It's a short week, regardless of how far they have to travel or not. The Raiders have scored more than 2 fantasy points just one time this entire season. That was against the Browns in week 4. I would actually side on the Nick Mullins side actually putting up some junk time scoring. The Raiders defense, even as a streamer, would make me kind of nervous tonight.
You know, this is obviously anecdotal, but I can't think of a truly awful defense through the first 8 weeks of the season that we said, like, yeah, we consider them a streaming option this week, that actually made good on that suggestion, right? Like, there's like five really, like, no Bucks calls, no Raiders calls.
The Raiders run defense is in like the bottom seven. And the one thing the 49ers can do is run. So, you know.
How about this?
Which turns it to, I think, which is a nice transition here, Stefania. Who is going to run for the 49ers?
Well, that's a great question.
I didn't come to rehearsal.
Yeah, I know.
I'll start reading the script from now on.
All right, guys, and now it is time for a quick note from the ZipRecruiter Smartest Fan of the Week.
Podcast is presented by ZipRecruiter. Go.
Whoops, that is not the ZipRecuiter Smartest Fan of the Week.
Color blindness rears its ugly head again.
What? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Tad, ZipRecruiter Smartest Fan of the Week. And I think it's about time that you guys bring a live show to Stefania's Stomping Grounds here in Northern California. Thank you very much. Now, back to the show.
So now people are using the ZipRecruiter Fan of the Week thing to be like,
bring Stefania back.
No,
to
just make random
bring
requests
Stefania
of us. That's no longer about like making jokes or just insulting us. It's just actual requests.
I'm not mad at it.
Yeah, I mean,
it's all right.
I like it.
I would totally go to San Francisco. I would totally go to San Francisco.
By the way, Matthew, the one that he's going to do for Friday asks if you could actually come to his bar mitzvah next Tuesday.
You know what's weird? You know what's interesting is that I've been asked to do a number of weddings over the years, and I've done a few. I've never been asked to do a bar mitzvah, which I always think is interesting.
It is interesting,
isn't it? Do you think it's because people don't think I know how to speak Hebrew or read Hebrew? Which, by the way, is correct. I don't. I knew how to do it. I've been bar mitzvahed, and I knew how to do it literally for about 6 months. Up until the day after my bar mitzvah, and then immediately forgot everything. Just immediately went out of my head. I practiced every day for like 6 months, and then the day after, like, foomp, out of my head.
Interesting.
For the 49ers, we talked about it a bit a minute ago, but we do...
I always like leading us to a place that Field just has no idea where to go, that I've just left him with nothing to do, where I've just completely put him off the edge.
So, the 49ers, huh?
Entirely my fault,
I don't know if CJ Beathard or Nick Mullins were ever bar mitzvahed themselves, but they could both start tonight for the 49ers. Stefania, we said it a minute ago, it's just a legit game-time decision for Beathard.
It is. It doesn't sound like the injury to Beathard is serious. It's his wrist and thumb that are causing him problems, but it's just the short turnaround of the week. And apparently he is having some difficulty managing the ball. Ball security always comes into play. I mean, the 49ers have had troubles with ball security of late, not only turning the ball over, but just fumbling the ball. So I think he was limited in their last walkthrough. It's ultimately a game time decision. Kyle Shanahan has shown that if a guy's ready to go, I mean, look what he's done with the running backs. If there's a chance that he can play, I think they want him to play. This is not an automatic, like, let's just put it to the side. But we are not going to know until game time.
I don't know that it really matters which quarterback starts, Matthew. I don't think it makes you feel more confident with Nick Mullins, but no one's really starting either of these players. I think the fallout is more what it means for the pass catchers. So before we get to the running backs, George Kittle is probably the most popular 49ers pass catcher that is being started in lineups. Does it matter which player plays quarterback, and does it impact your potential to use him in your lineup tonight?
Yes and no.
Okay. It matters.
So yes, does it matter? It does. I mean,
you want Beathard in there.
Yeah, I think you do, obviously. Sure. We know nothing about Nick Mullins. We haven't seen, no one has seen him throw an NFL pass.
You know nothing about Nick Mullins.
Well, from an NFL perspective, go ahead,
Field.
Field
drops
about
some major knowledge during rehearsal, which I'd like him to share with the group.
By all means, go ahead, young Field Yates.
You ever heard of Brett Favre?
I have heard of Brett Favre.
Brett Favre played his college football at Southern Miss.
I've heard of Southern Miss.
Were once broken by Austin Davis, now the backup quarterback to Seattle Seahawks. So
right.
Pretty impressive career right there from Austin Davis.
Sure, of course. He's very similar to Brett Favre in the pros. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
There's a lot of time left for Austin Davis. He's still young.
Yep.
Nick Mullins broke the records that were once broken by Austin Davis. He had one of the most prolific passing careers ever. He was a really fun college player to watch during his time at Southern Miss. So, yeah. Some of us do pay too much attention to random stuff during the course of the weekend. He's Field Yates. I wish I had knowledge on stuff that was more applicable to the real world, right?
Fair. Look, yeah.
Also fair, Daniel Topp got your drop right on the first press of a button.
Yeah, apparently, apparently that's a color that he recognizes. All right. Look, yeah, I mean, I'm aware of that. We don't know what Nick Mullins is as an NFL quarterback. No one does because he has never thrown a pass in the National Football League. Yeah. That's the point there, Field Yates. And so, yes, I think knowing what we've seen out of C.J. Beathard and Kittle has been decent with Beathard under center, you know, over 10.5 points in 5 of the last 6, 6 of 8 overall, some of that with Jimmy G, some of that with Beathard. I think you would prefer if you have Kittle on your roster, you would prefer Beathard to be under center. All that said, to answer your second question, which is, does that affect how you play him? No. You're starting George Kittle regardless of who's under center. I have to believe that if Nick Mullins gets the start here, Kyle will have coached him up, created a game plan that plays to his strengths, probably, you know, shortened the playbook. It's a complex playbook that Kyle runs. And so I think it's probably, you know, maybe some limited package and that kind of stuff, but whatever. They'll get him out there. He'll coach him up. He'll do what he can. I'm starting Kittle regardless of who's under center.
Matthew and Kyle Shanahan now on a first name basis. We just learned that. Marquise Goodwin checks in at 34 Matthews ranks, 43rd in my ranks. Stefania has him a bit higher here. And here's my issue with Marquise Goodwin is he gets saved last week by that one catch for 55 yards and a touchdown. He's got 23 targets in 6 games this season. Nick Mullins, and you know, I hear everything about the number of players on a bye this week. There are 6 teams, so perhaps Marquise Goodwin, who just needs 1 or 2 catches to make good on it, can do exactly that. I have some reservations given the low volume, the potential sketchy quarterback play, and the fact that, you know, trends-wise, he scored every other game this season, and he scored last week. So the Kyle Soppy suggests that it could be a down week here for Marquise Goodwin. Last one, though, is the 49ers running backs, and this is not an opportunity to make fun about Alfred Morris, but Matt Breida.
You guys talk. You guys go ahead and talk. I'm just going to
excuse yourself.
I'm done with this.
Good.
I'm done with this particular.
No, you're still attached. Your wire's attached.
So you can't make a dramatic exit with that. Okay.
No, I have it. I'm merely going to say that, okay, you're talking about the 49ers running backs? Yeah, I'm peacing out.
Okay. Matthew, goodbye. Nice knowing
you. See you later.
Stefania, you and I have Matt Breida at 26 in our ranks this week. Some might say that feels a little bit low. Let's start here on Matt Breida. He's going to play, right? For a guy that was banged up significantly going into last week's game.
We think he is.
Okay.
But again, I'm waiting till game time for the final call. This is a guy that we thought would sit out before when his ankle was really bothering him. But, you know, he's a tough player on game day. He's one of those guys who gets ready for game day. Now, he's been limited this week, but the 49ers have only had walkthroughs. So there's no real way to test it. I feel like if he warms up well, he's going to be out there. I know his stats, people look at last week, 16 carries for 42 yards, not very impressive, but he played 31 offensive snaps. He far dominated the running backs there in terms of the offensive snaps he played, and 16 carries, virtually half the snaps were plays directed at him.
What's confusing to me is this. The last time that Matt Breida had a target in the passing game was week 5.
Yes.
A target, 3 straight games of
very
no targets
confusing.
Whatsoever for Matt Breida, which really lowers the ceiling for him in PPR scoring. That's why we have him at 26, even if we think he is going to play tonight, or even if he does play, I should say. He's an excellent athlete. I mean, he's one of the best athletes on that roster. It's surprising me that he hasn't been more involved in the passing game. I don't have a reason as to, like, hey, it's gone to somebody else, or they're trying to protect him from something. But the lack of passing game inclusion is why I have Matt Breida down, and you have him down as well at 26.
It does make me wonder, given the fact that C.J. Beathard is banged up, and if he does play, you wonder if there's the short screens to Breida, if that comes back in this game as a way to help out Beathard if he does play.
I sure hope so. The 49ers are 2.5-point favorites tonight.
And by the way, people might be asking about Raheem Mostert. I just want to mention, because he's questionable with an ankle himself.
Right.
Oh, gosh.
So he's not 100% healthy. And last week...
You know Alfred Morris will go absolutely off,
last
right?
Last week, he and Alfred Morris together only accounted for 8 carries for 46 yards. So, you know, they have Raheem Mostert, who was this great in tandem with Breida. He's also banged up. I just don't know what to make of the running backs. I think the one, knowing that Mostert's not 100% healthy, the one who's been productive even when he's been injured and it's been inconsistent is Breida.
Matt Breida at 26 for both of us. The 49ers are 2.5 points favorites tonight.
Is there a scenario in which you would start any of these guys?
Well, Matt Breida's at 26. He could be
a flex
player. Yeah.
If Breida's active, I think you're starting him as a potential flex play, yeah. Right? If Breida is out,
I would feel better about Raheem Mostert if he plays. And,
right.
Yeah. I mean,
this is messy. Yeah.
But this is that's the point. I mean, that's, you know.
I don't know.
I've mentioned
as of right
this
now
once
they have not promoted a running back from the practice squad, which makes me think that there is a decent chance that Matt Breida plays tonight. He also, because he is such a tough guy, makes me think he's going to play tonight. Yeah, it's tough.
I could literally attend Matt Breida's funeral. I could see him laying in the casket, and I would still put him as probable for the game Sunday afterwards. I mean, it's unbelievable. This guy is...
Yeah, he's tough.
One of the toughest guys in the NFL. Fair, Stefania?
Yes, and the Raiders' run defense is poor. So I feel like there's an opportunity there, even if 49ers aren't at their best.
All right, 49ers are 2.5 point favorites here. I'm going to pick the Raiders to cover. I'm sorry, Stefania.
I know.
I am as well.
Despite that long trip, I really think the Raiders are going to be okay with their travel commute and play well.
Watch them get stuck in traffic.
If there's any team, I mean, that battle between the Bay is like they can be the two worst teams in the league and they are going to go at it hard because it's a pride thing. If you're coming to East Bay or Peninsula or San Fran, as they still call themselves, but they play in the Peninsula. So I'm going to take my 49ers.
All right, Daniel, who do you got?
I'm going to take the Raiders.
All right.
You're
three
wrong.
Of us go for the Raiders. I had to go with the Raiders after dressing as a pirate yesterday for Halloween. Mm. Getting tickets online can be far too complicated. With hundreds of sites and varying levels of reliability, it's hard to know who to trust, kind of like the 49ers backfield. That's why SeatGeek is the way to go. SeatGeek pulls millions of tickets into one place so you can easily find the seats you want for a price you're willing to pay. There's nothing quite like being there in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. By searching multiple job sites and grading every ticket based on value, SeatGeek helps you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. I had a friend who recently traveled to Chicago for the Patriots-Bears games, showed up to the game with tickets he did not buy on SeatGeek. They were fake. So you got to be careful out there. Secondly, you got to be really careful. So go to SeatGeek because make SeatGeek your go-to source for everything from sports and concerts to comedy and theater in the ticket realm. Best of all, our listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code FFF today. That's promo code FFF for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. SeatGeek, life's an event. We have the tickets. I want to make that right for my friend at some point, by the way. He deserves better. Let's get to love-hate for this upcoming week, Matthew.
Okay.
Couple of names.
Yeah.
You love yourself some Drew Brees.
I do. You know, and a reminder in the column we'll count later today, but a reminder that love-hate is all about our projections. You know, the ESPN projections that are put out, generated by Mike Clay. He does a great job with them. But, you know, these are players that are loves are people that I think exceed their ESPN projections. Hates, of course, are players that I feel fall short. And the projection for Drew Brees, 17.6 against a Rams defense. Look, he's my number 7 quarterback this week. First off, Vegas, right, has this as one of the highest over-unders of the week. Vegas actually projects 30 points for the Saints this week. Since 2013, 10 of Brees' top 11 fantasy performances have come at home in a game in which they've scored 30 points. We expect the Rams to be able to put up a ton of points here. Brees is going to have to sling it against an LA Rams team that has allowed multiple passing touchdowns or over 285 passing yards in 6 of 8 games a season. Only Sam Bradford and C.J. Beathard have not reached those levels here. Since week 3, Rams allowing the 7th most yards per play this game. The Saints are a top 12 offense, I should say, in both yards per play, they're an explosive offense. I don't see, given how beat up that secondary is, this game's at home. I know people are concerned about, oh, they're going more run heavy. I think if you look a little bit closer at the games field that they've played since they've gotten Mark Ingram back.
Yep.
I think they're both a little bit fluky. I think, you know, in terms of Minnesota, all the turnovers and, you know, I think, that was a game where they were able to establish the run, in a big way. And I think they'll be able to run against the Rams here, but they're going to have to score, to keep up. I don't think we expected Cousins to have as many turnovers. I don't think Goff turns the ball over the way Cousins does. I think this game's a track meet. give me the over on 17.6.
And in terms of a hate for this week, you actually have Trey Burton, a player that you've loved throughout much of the year against the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, it's very disappointing, actually, because we talk about the War Room team. Like, my Demaryius Thomas, you know, every Matthew Stafford, all these guys that are on my hate list are actually my War Room team. It's nothing more bummer than putting your own player on the hate list, but you got to call him like you see him. And the projection for Trey Burton here is 9.2. I think that's a little bit high. I'm taking the under here. He makes the hate list. Like, I have him as my top 12. I have him as tight end 12. Everyone else has him inside the top 10. I just don't see it here against a Bills team that's allowing a league low 53% completion percentage against opposing when opponents target the tight end. Okay. No tight end field has caught more than five passes that recorded more than 55 receiving yards against these Bills, right? And they've faced Eric Ebron, Rob Gronkowski, Kyle Rudolph, Jimmy Graham. I mean, so it's not like they've beaten up on a bunch of bad tight ends. I mean, I thought they covered Gronk pretty well. And so, honestly, for me, Burton, who's had just more than five targets once this season, he's a low-volume guy. You're basically hoping he gets into the end zone here. I believe this is the lowest over-under of the week, this game.
Interesting.
Buffalo, Chicago. So I don't see a lot of scoring in this game. You're basically hoping that, you know, I don't think the Bears maybe get two touchdowns in this game, and you're hoping Burton gets one of them here. I don't know. For me, outside my top 10, I'm taking the under on 9.2. Remember, he's had under 25 receiving yards in 4 out of 7 games this year. He really needs a touchdown to pay off, and it just depends on how lucky do you feel?
As always, Thursday is Love Hate Day, so the full column will be available on ESPN.com today. Before we wrap up the show,
I think it's a good one, by the way. I think today's a good one.
Good, yeah.
I don't always like them. Sometimes I'm just like, you know, but this one's a good one.
Okay.
I don't know if Keith agrees.
Look forward to reading that one. Keith, why don't you give each of us a Twitter question to close today's show?
All right, I will do that. We'll start ladies first here. Stefania from Matt Gandhi says, do I risk starting Sony Michel or do I throw in Jalen Richard tonight?
Ooh, good question.
It is a good question. I would throw in Jalen Richard tonight because we just don't know about Sony Michel. And he's doing very limited work at practice and you're not going to have an idea till Sunday. If those are your only two choices, I would go with Jalen Richard.
Yeah, for what it's worth, I agree.
I do as well, and I think whenever you have questions like that, you just have to sort of evaluate, well, what's your option? So if Sony Michel doesn't go, who would you be able to use, and what is that player's upside or potential versus somebody like Jalen Richard? So like a guy like Richard, who we all like tonight, it's one thing. If it was somebody, I don't know, if it was that question versus Raheem Mostert, you know, by the way, watch Raheem Mostert go off tonight. But if it was somebody that you didn't have as much confidence in, then maybe you roll the dice and see what you can do.
All right, Keith, who's next?
Matthew from David North wants to know, interesting trade proposed to me. I would get Russell Wilson and Calvin Ridley in exchange for Juju Smith-Schuster. I currently have Stafford as my QB.
So Russell Wilson and Calvin Ridley for Juju Smith-Schuster. I currently have Stafford as my quarterback. I would not do this deal. So I don't believe, look, I expect there to be some positive regression here for Russell Wilson. I think he's going to be better than he was. But I don't believe the difference between Russell Wilson and Matthew Stafford is Juju Smith-Schuster.
Correct.
And so, like, I would much rather roll with Stafford and have Juju, who I still believe is going to be top 15 wide receiver the rest of the way. And by the way, number one in your Halloween costume rankings field.
No doubt. Juju Smith-Schuster went as Juju Smith-Schuster. Legendary. So check my Twitter at Field Yates for a link to it. It is hilarious.
Yes.
We love you, Juju. You're great in the end zone, and you are great on Halloween.
Yeah. Totally great. Went as himself. Just amazing and surprised.
Did he ride a bike?
No, he surprised people on street corners like he was wearing a mask. He takes you see the whole thing. But so anyway, but yes, I would not do that deal.
And last one here for Field. Matt Leahy wants to know, flexing this week, Kenny Galladay, Josh Gordon, or Nick Chubb?
We've been talking about the potential Josh Gordon breakout for a few weeks now, but I think it's still got to go Josh Gordon here, right? Like, it's between him and Galladay for me. I'm assuming this is PPR scoring, and with no Golden Tate, I can't imagine Kenny Galladay averages 1.5 targets for the next 2 weeks like he did the past 2 weeks. I'd go with Josh Gordon. It's quite close, though. I mean, my worry with Nick Chubb is this. It might sound great that they're going to establish the run early against the Chiefs, but you get behind 14-0 in 5 minutes of game time, and all of a sudden, you are trying to make it a track meet. So I would go with Josh Gordon personally.
Which, by the way, if it were a track meet, would favor Nick Chubb. But since it's not.
Correct. I mean, look, it's a great matchup here with Kansas City. We don't know what the new coaching staff will be. Will they make an effort to get Duke Johnson more involved and his touches limited? My expectation is that Chubb has a nice game here, as does Galladay, as does Gordon. I mean, I think the great option here is I think you probably can't get this one wrong because I actually like all three guys on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm with Field here, if you're going to choose one, you know, given Galladay's kind of, we expect his usage to rise, obviously, with the trade of Golden Tate. But you don't know. You could see some more Theo Riddick. We expect him to be back. You could see some T.J. Jones here.
Tough Minnesota defense this week, too.
Yes, absolutely. So, I'm with Field here. Feels like this could be Josh Gordon's breakout week.
Couple of quick poll results before we say goodbye. Over under 12 receptions for Adam Thielen this week if Stephon Diggs sits. 72% say over. Listen, that's just a big number.
It's a huge number.
12 targets is huge. 12 receptions is a huge, huge task for any player.
Yeah, and it's receptions, not targets.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Is a hot dog a sandwich? 84% of you answer correctly. No, it's not a sandwich. A hot dog is a hot dog. A sandwich is a sandwich.
A sandwich.
All right, yes. We're back on Friday. Full game preview. In the meantime, fantasy show on ESPN Plus.
Love hate episode today. Please check that out. And the love hate column will be up later today on ESPN.com.
We also have StefaniaB87 on Instagram and Stefania_ESPN on Twitter. I'm at Field Yates on Twitter and Instagram. Go find Juju. Talk to you tomorrow.
Peace out.
Never gonna hustle, in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me, because I don't think you could.
Jailbait, Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.